Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Adventures in Hell World podcast. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics. And this week, it's just me and Eric. There's Eric. He's over there. He's the co-host now, officially the co-host of the show.
That's good, because I've been spending the whole week slinging sandwiches, and I'm ready to go.
Well, that's good. It's good to sling sandwiches. It's all about being a working-class man, just doing working-class stuff. So
that's right.
Any new stuff going on? Any fun things happening in Eric Land?
Well, I'm back to work for the school year. So
you lucky dog.
That's right. I'm now earning a paycheck again.
My new thing is a game called Lorelli and the Laser Eyes, and it's a great game. 10 out of 10, would recommend it to anybody. If you enjoy escape rooms, you will love this game.
Okay.
Because it's very much a game where it's sort of like, here's a hint, and now here's a lock you have to break with that hint. And then you do that. And the game will eventually get to the point where there's like stuff that's like seeded for later game activities, but a lot of the puzzles in the game are just literally, you're in a room, there's a lock, here's a clue, figure it out. And it has a very suspense noir theme to it. It's a very engaging game. I've enjoyed it. I'm most of the way through the game at this point. I know from like the walkthroughs and the cheating I've done to like solve puzzles that have stumped me that I'm in the end game, but it's been worth it. 10 out of 10 would I recommend. Unless it does, did you ever see the game like 12 minutes or whatever it was called? It was like 12 or 13 minutes. It was this really, it was a game like kind of based off Groundhog's Day where you were trapped in a time loop.
Okay. No, I mean, I've played Groundhog loop type games, but I can't think of that one.
So basically that game was like a solid enough game. And then the ending just came out of nowhere and was the most horrible thing in the history of the world.
Oh, I hate that.
And you were just, and you were just like, what? No, no. Why would you? Yeah. Why were you even thinking? Ah! Grab your monitor, throw your monitor out the window. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Unless the game hits me with an ending like that to just ruin everything.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be okay. But, yeah, check in next week. I'll let you guys know if they landed the plane or not. But, no turbulence, smooth sailing, see the runway. Right in front of us, everything's great. This is going to be so awesome when I find out the ending to this game is a nightmare. And I'm just like, oh, no. Oh, man. Oh, dummy Mike set himself up. But yeah.
Well, I know you like escape room stuff. Did you ever play 999?
No, I've never heard of that. I'll definitely have.
I know it, I played it on the Nintendo DS, but I'm guessing it got ported to other systems as well. It's literally an escape room game. Like you spend but it's also a visual novel where there's like periods where it's just like 20 minutes of watching people having conversations in between solving, escaping rooms. But like they get really like, they throw in some real like SO, like that's the game where I first heard about the mummy on the Titanic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they talk about the Ice Nine from, Kurt Vonnegut's Cat's Cradle as if it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And just all kinds of weird stuff like that.
That sounds interesting. I'll definitely have to look into that. Yeah. So, we haven't done a pod that wasn't just me talking about blackjack in a while. So has anything happened in the last 2 weeks? Oh, wait, everything sucks. The world is terrible. We're all.
I did actually, you reminded me, I did have one blackjack related question that I didn't hear mentioned in your solo pod. I know some casinos offer insurance when you're playing blackjack.
Oh, I didn't talk about insurance for the simple reason that you should never take insurance.
That's what I've heard. That insurance is bad, bad, bad.
Okay, so yeah, this is a great question, great little blind spot that I missed. Basically, if the dealer is showing an ace, you are offered insurance if you don't have a blackjack. And if you do have a blackjack, you will be offered even money. Both of these bets are terrible because the odds the dealer actually has the blackjack are 1 in 3. And the dealer is effectively paying you just 2-1 for a payoff that should be 3-1. So you're getting robbed on the odds pretty substantially on that. And insurance exists as a sucker bet for idiot customers. And it's also one of the more egregious ways to spot a card counter, because if a guy starts upping his bets real heavy, and then the dealer shows an ace, and the guy hasn't taken insurance all the time, and now suddenly he's taking insurance on his $1,000 hands. It's because he's counting, and he knows it's way more likely that you actually have blackjack than the 3-1, and he's actually getting a right price to get 2-1 on his insurance. So, yeah, insurance is just super bad. Never take it. Never take even money. The number of idiots I've heard who've told me, well, if the casino's offering you money, you should take it. If the casino is offering you anything, we're doing it because it's a bad idea. We don't offer you good suggestions. Like, we don't force our dealers to tell you good things. We only ask, they only tell our dealers to tell you bad things. That's how we stay in business. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one thing that people always seem to forget is that a casino is a business. And the bottom line for any business is to be in the black. So they're going to do everything they can to make sure that they make a profit.
Yep. And that's the thing, is that the reason why they say these things is because people are dumb enough to buy into it. And insurance, everyone knows it's a sucker play, but God, everyone takes even money. It drives me nuts. And I tell people, don't do it. And they're like, I'm getting money. And I'm like, yeah, long run, just do the math. You're way more likely, you make way more money in the long run, not accepting a lowball bribe offer, because that's what we're doing. So yeah, it's very funny. But anyone else ever has questions or comments about table games, I'm going to do another one. I'm going to talk about craps next time. So we're going to do that. I'll get that up sometime this week also.
And I'm actually kind of interested in that because I never understood craps.
Oh, I love craps. Craps is my game. I've become like the craps guy at my work. Like if there's ever a problem with a customer about craps, they're like, Mike, get over here. I'm like, okay, I come over. I'm like, what's the deal? And they're like, this guy's mad about this. And then I'm just like, and the thing that's like funny is a lot of times it's like something so stupid. And I'm just like, oh, it's this. And the guy's like, oh, right, my bad. We have a terminal system on some of the craps tables, and like this guy will be like, why can't I take odds on the pass line? I'll be like, because the point hasn't been established yet. And I'm like, oh, right, my bad. And I'm like, yeah, it's really obvious. Sorry, buddy. I know I sounded like I was speaking Klingon there, but trust me, when you play craps, like that's like craps 101 terminology I just used. So what terrible thing do you want to start off with first, Eric?
Well, I've been getting a mild kick out of the whole Gavin Newsom is the new Donald Trump thing.
Oh, it's really funny that Gavin is just straight up trolling this prick, and the fact that we have to have such discourse about this makes me laugh. But I mean, we talked about this when after Trump wins the election, Gavin's talking to Steve Bannon and Charlie Kirk, and he's trying to reach across the aisle.
Right.
And then like 2 weeks later, he's decapitating Bernie Sanders and stealing his power in the quickening and becoming the liberal champion of America. And I mean, at this point, hey, smoke him if you got him. I mean, whatever, Gavin, do what you got to do. But I mean, for me, I've seen this from a lot of people too. Like one of the most important things I need from a candidate in 2028, if we have elections and all that fun stuff, is visceral hatred of Republicans. I need you to get out there and be like, these people suck. They are terrible. They are destroying our country. We need to beat them in every election for the next 40 years. You need to rise up and crush these scum, and I am your avatar to do it. And that's it. I mean, I the last thing I want to hear from anyone getting in front of a microphone with a big sign that says, my name, 2028. the last thing that you, good sir or madam, are going to say to into that microphone is, now I'm going to work across the aisle with my esteemed Republican people and find consensus. No, you are not going to reach across the aisle. No, you're not going to reach consensus on the issues that trouble America. You are going to crush these people because they are evil. They are ontologically evil, and they must be defeated and driven from power. And if you say anything other than that, you do not have my vote. So the only two people that are getting this right now are Newsom and Pritzker from Illinois. Like, every time I see anything from Pritzker, he's like, man, Republicans are fucking terrible, aren't they? They suck. He's just not, like, being as flashy as Newsom is at this moment. And right now it's 2025. America has the attention span of a goldfish. None of this actually matters come 2028. But those are the two guys that are actually getting in front of a microphone and saying what I need to hear, which is, fuck these people. Fuck them. So anyone who's like, oh, Newsom shouldn't be trolling him, he absolutely should be trolling him. He should be going at Trump. He should be going at the Republicans. He needs to gerrymander the shit out of California. All of it. Like, fight fire with fire. Get after these pricks. Yeah.
I had to laugh because before we came on, I saw this thing where a reporter asked Newsom why he's trolling Trump. And he's like, the real question you should be asking is, you should be asking Donald Trump why he tweets like that and how this has become normalized over the last 8 years.
Yes, 100%. I would have preferred him to have said the question you need to ask Donald Trump is, where are the Epstein files? But if he isn't going to say that, the next best thing he could say is, yeah, the president is a moron. Why are you tolerating the president being a moron?
Yeah, that's what I've been spending the last 2 weeks doing, is anytime I see something from Carolyn Leavitt or Pam Bondi or someone like that, no matter what they say, I respond with a meme of American Psycho, and he's like, wow, that's crazy. How about those Epstein files?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's going to be real fun September 2nd when the House reopens and the Democrats are just like, okay, every bill that comes to the floor, going to put an amendment on it to release the Epstein files. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Oh.
And I had commented that I was sure that 99% of all the Republican reps were going to hide, you know, in their houses with the doors locked and the windows barred rather than hold any town halls or anything. But I'm like, but the two or three who actually do show their faces like a groundhog on February 2nd, I can't wait to see those clips. And sure enough, you got like Mike Flood being booed and all this other stuff.
Yep.
And he's like, I think it was Mike Flood. He was like, well, I know you libs who pack this place are angry, but I bet my real constituents are thrilled with what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But yeah, I know. But we're talking about the memory of goldfish thing. I keep telling everybody, because like I saw one person saying Newsom Pritzker 2028. I'm like, dude, it's 2025. I'm not even ready to talk about the midterms yet. Let's put 2028 on the back burner for now. I know people started talking about 2028 one second after Donald Trump was declared the winner of 2024. But let's prioritize here.
Yeah, let's win the midterms here. Let's have midterms. But I will say, I'm now watching a video of Newsom talking about, he's got his on his lectern, it says Election Rigging Response Act. And
yeah, I saw that.
And it's like, my God, is Newsom even going to wait for the first election to be called on midterm night before he drops the 2028 banner? I mean, there's never been Gavin Newsom is currently jogging right now because he's about to start running in a couple years. He's already there.
I know.
I mean, and hey, this is the one thing that I like. I mean, of all the copium I need to huff, let me grab my copium mask here. Oh God, the premium copium. I love it. But that's the one thing that like makes me laugh about this whole horrible ordeal we're in, is that, like, in the weeks after the 2026 midterms, Newsom, Pritzker, maybe Big Gresh in Michigan, like, you're going to see a lot of Democrats, Beshear in Kentucky, maybe Shapiro, but you're going to see all these Democrats like coming out, throwing their hat in the ring. I think the only person who could kind of like do the whole will they or won't they might be Kamala. I mean, Kamala might drag it out if she's going to run or not, but you're going to see all these people getting into it, starting their super PACs, start like going to South Carolina, starting to hit the early states. And on the Republican side, you're going to have like Theoden Trump, senile to the point of almost incompetent. And the whole Republican Party is going to be, your majesty, are you going to go for another term or not? Are we allowed to run Vance or not? And Trump's going to be like, Trump 2028. What was that, our God Emperor? Did you say you were running or not? And he's just going to mumble and slur. And you're like, the Republicans are going to be like in this like 3 to 6 month period of abeyance where they're going to be like, what do we fucking do? Do we go for the illegal third term? Do we just try to push this guy out the door and then you have our QAnon base turn on us because we're usurping him? Like, the idea that Donald Trump's going to walk to a lectern with the presidential seal on it and be like, everybody, I love J.D. Vance, and he's the guy for 2028. And then Trump's going to walk away from the lectern and let Vance get up there and cut a promo. Like, that's never going to happen. That will never happen. I mean, like, I remember a couple months ago, like, Trump never has anything but a softball interview now. But Trump was like, I think he was talking to Hannity or someone from Fox. And they said to Trump, they were like, so, J.D. Vance is your successor, right? And he was like, I wouldn't say that. I don't know what you're talking about. And it was just like, dude, you're term limited and he's your vice president. Why did you pick him if he wasn't your successor? What was the plan there, if not that?
To get Ohio.
Yeah, I say, Mr. President, you're going to win Ohio by 10 anyways. I was? Fuck, God damn it. I don't like that guy. What the hell? My kid, Don Jr. and Eric lied to me. Son of a bitch. I mean, yeah, it's just, like, that's the thing is that, if you're all these various Republicans who fancy themselves potentially being the president, I mean, I Lord knows that after Biden won and Youngkin won in Virginia, Glenn Youngkin was looking in the mirror every day and seeing the next president of the United States smiling back at him. So, I mean, you got like, you got him, all the guys that got smoked in 2016, like Rubio and Cruz, you know, they want another bite at the apple. And Vance obviously wants to be president. So it's like, you're going to have all these guys like circling Trump, like lions circling an injured zebra.
Like younger sons, waiting for the king to drop dead.
So right, exactly.
Yeah. So they can start stabbing each other in the back.
Right. It's like, this is just a situation where, it's our fantasy country where the throne goes to the strongest king, not the oldest son, but the wisest son. And now they're all circling Pop-Pop and Pop-Pop won't declare his successor, so... And also, he doesn't want to die. He wants to keep running this thing.
I mean, I keep saying I'll be amazed if he makes it to 2028, just from his horrible health, his horrible lifestyle, everything. But I could see him possibly stretching out a nomination to, like, August of 2028.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I just don't... Oh my God, it would be the funniest thing in the world. Like, and as we are talking, as this is happening, literally, I just refreshed my Twitter. Trump 2028 is trending on Twitter.
And I've been seeing a lot of blue check accounts of guys wearing hats that say Trump 2028.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, I mean, it's like, I'm, to anyone, any Republican who wants to do that, please, for the love of God, please. Because Trump will be more unpopular than smashing your toe with a brick in 2028. And he's going to be super senile, and he might not be alive. So, I mean, I have a lot of reasons for why Trump 2028 is a bad idea for Republicans.
Even in these softball interviews, he's still, I mean, he always kind of fumbled, like when, you know, like Hannity would try to get him over the plate on some easy questions and he would just totally botch him. But now it's like, okay, he said he's going to Russia in on Friday when he's going to Alaska. He had that weird thing, I think yesterday, where he kept talking about grass.
Yeah.
He's baked. He's the only reason that we're not talking about this all the time is that the media is trying to keep their headline machine chugging along. So they're not going to say a single word about his cognitive health.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. No, I mean, like, literally, there's going to be like that moment where Elon, Peter Thiel, and all these other billionaire backers of Vance are going to give the media the high sign to start releasing all the stories about Pop's brain being pudding. And that'll probably happen again. He's got to live to make it to this, because he could easily have an actual physical health crisis that debilitates him from the presidency any day now, because the man's in horrible shape physically.
I mean, he might be in the middle of one right now,
right?
But there's such a lockdown on information that nobody knows about it.
I mean, our media that treated Joe Biden's health as though it was the greatest crisis this world has ever seen, and every misspoken word, every haunting stride the man took, even though we know why he walked gingerly, because he broke his foot right before he became president. He literally won the election and his dog tackled him and broke his foot. And all the top White House correspondents were like, hey, President Biden's walking around kind of gimpy. Yeah, because he's an 82-year-old dude who had his foot broken a couple years ago. I'm sorry he's not spry of step because his foot didn't heal right from his dog knocking him over. But all those people who made everything about Biden's health a story. We get the blow-ups of Trump's hand and all the makeup covering it and how you can still see the bruising even under the makeup. And the White House press secretary says, yeah, he shakes so many hands it bruises his hand. And our press just says, well, that's obvious bullshit. But they don't follow up. They don't push. They don't go, yeah, pull my other leg. Now tell me why he's really hurting. Tell me what's really going on with his hand. No one actually wants to know what's going on with his hand, when if this was Biden, it would have been a 12-alarm blaze. President's hand is constantly bruised. What the fuck? Tell us what's going on with the old man. But literally, the White House pisses on these reporters' legs and tells them it's raining. And the reporter's like, I know you're peeing on my leg, but I don't care. I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah. And because they don't want to lose their White House badges.
Right, they don't want to lose their access.
Yeah.
Yeah.